Yeah. What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. And I'm your gracious host. This is Tariq Nasheed, also known as Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning into today's show. Phone number, family, is 818-850-5404. That is the call-in number. Give me a buzz. Let me know what's on your mind. What we're going to do now, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. And I don't want you to go nowhere. We'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Master the game and join dating and life coach Mr. Locario live in New York City on Saturday, March 25th in Times Square for the Bad Boy Seminar. Mr. Locario has some exclusive realistic approaches to the dating game that will help you be successful with women. Purchase your tickets at MrLocario.com. Space is extremely limited, so pick up your tickets today at MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called AshKicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to ashkicking.com. That's ASHKICKIN.com. Check out this website, PreK2PhDTravel.com. Now, this website provides a perfect summer Spanish language immersion program for people who are seeking an innovative alternative to traditional vacations. On this program, the guests can develop their conversational Spanish skills and have a great, rich cultural experience in one of the most beautiful, breathtaking areas of the Spanish-speaking world, Costa Rica. And I've been to Costa Rica before. Beautiful country. They have a lot of African artifacts there, and you will love it. But anyway, check out PreK2, that's the number 2, PhDTravel.com, and hook up with this program right now. PreK2PhDTravel.com. We're in this together! Yo, we're in Black History Month right now, so you need to celebrate it the right way by going to royallymelanated.com. This site is having a month-long sale, and some of the books are almost 50% off. The site has made a wide variety of entertaining and educational books, and the publishing company continues to grow by adding 3 new titles, which includes the limited edition reissue of Position of Power, the sci-fi thriller Dreamer's Edge, and for those of you who are cupcaking this Valentine's Day, the book Can I Sell You a Dream will suit you well. Also, be sure to check out the best-selling Super Series and the controversial historical tale called A Birthday Surprise for George Washington. Visit royallymelanated.com to purchase your copies today.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
Yo, we are back right here on Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. This is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, family. Ready to chop up some real good game. How are you doing on this beautiful weekday? I hope everybody has their Hidden Colors DVDs. And I mean Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. All of your Hidden Colors DVDs, Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I hope you have all of them at HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get those. HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. You can get all 4 of those films. Black History Month is almost over, so you should have your joints right now, ladies and gentlemen. Stop bullshitting and get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And also, we're going to have those 1804 movie posters. We got those right now. We're still working on the film. We're in pre-production. We're about to start doing some of the action scenes and all that stuff out here. And that's coming along very nicely. A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff we're doing with the film, getting it ready to go into full-scale production. But you can get the poster for 1804 at 1804movie.com. And we're going to have some T-shirts for the movie. We're going to have the official 1804 T-shirts popping. Shout out to everybody who tuned in to Ism Radio. People are loving Ism Radio. For those who don't know, you can go to Ism Radio. We do that every Tuesday live at ismradio.com, I-Z-M-radio.com, with me and my lovely co-host, Miss Sarah and Miss Chris. And you guys can go to my YouTube page and subscribe to my YouTube channel. That's at Tariq Live, and you can get Ism Radio, Tariq Radio, all my live Ustream shows, get all of that stuff all at once. Everybody in the room, somebody's asking about Hidden Colors 5. Y'all gotta wait. Hidden Colors 5, we're not even planning that yet. That's later on down the line. Right now, it's all about 1804. That's the lick. 1804 is the lick. You guys are going to really enjoy when we're done with that film. But today is not going to be a long show. I got a lot of stuff to do today. I've been real busy today, man. I was trying to get my my two-year-old son enrolled in like a little preschool here in California. And, man, you know, they didn't change the laws out here. Out here in California now, the law that went into effect the beginning of 2017 is you cannot enroll your children in no schools in California unless they get the vaccine shots. It's mandatory. It's not, you can't opt out no more. Back in the day, you could opt out for personal preferences, personal religious reasons. They are like, fuck that. Fuck your religion. Fuck all that. It's mandatory that your kids get shots or they cannot go to school in the state of California. This shit is crazy. So we're, because my kid ain't getting a shot. He's two. No. Do not give two-year-olds, children under three, over three as well, but really under three, they shouldn't be getting none of those shots. Those shots are extremely dangerous. And we're trying to fight it, and we've been trying to holler at lawyers because I'm just not going to give him those shots at no 2 years old. You dig? I mean, and they don't really give you any options. The only option is you got to get like a note from a doctor saying that there's a medical reason why the child can't get the shots, and that's very difficult to do. Or they say you can homeschool your kid or move out the state. Those are the only options. And out here in California, they have a constitutional statute that says that a child has a right to an education. But this whole vaccine thing is violating the California Constitution. But, you know, that's how they do. They make up the laws as they go along. But this shit is getting crazy where they say you have to. You have to get this shot that's potentially poisonous, and there's so much research showing the damage that these shots are causing, especially to black boys, and they're saying you can't opt out no more. That's bullshit. You opt out, your kid don't learn nothing. It's crazy as hell. So, if you're a doctor out here in L.A., holler at me, man. Let me get some advice from you. All my medical people out here in L.A., SoCal, people who know the stuff out here, all my doctors out here in L.A., my brothers, sisters out here practicing medicine in L.A., holler at me. Email me and let me know what the deal is. info@tariqelite.com. You dig? Somebody in the chat room was talking about Brother Phil Valentine and Brother Rich talking about he handles vaccine. Okay. Yeah, but my California folks, my medical folks, holler at me, man. info@tariqelite.com. I'm trying to see what's going on with my phone line, man. When I do my show here, my phone line is janky. I don't see any calls. I know people are calling, but my phone line is real janky at the spot, at my home office. So I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to, next week, I'm going to have to get another connection so everybody can hit me up on the phone, because I know a lot of people are calling, but there's something going on with the phone line here. So I'm just going to have to, I'm going to get another connection so I can get calls, because a lot of folks are calling, but it's cool because the show ain't going to be that long. So let me say what I got to say, and I'll just read people's comments from the chat room as I go along. And by the way, y'all follow me on Instagram as well, man. The girls from ISM, they're showing me it, how to do Snapchat and all that. Because Snapchat, I'm like, you post a video, it only lasts for a couple of days or 24 hours, and I can't see how many people are following me. I can't see other people's shit, so it's kind of weird. I don't know how to really navigate Snapchat, so I just make goofy-ass videos. I got a new character that I created. Because I saw some of the filters. They got what I call a coon filter. And I got a character. I posted it up on my Instagram and on Facebook. A coon character. I'm going to name him. His name is February Jefferson. That's the name of the coon character. And they got a filter where your lips and teeth are big and your eyes are bucked. So I'm going to have a lot of fun with February Jefferson. But let me talk about what I want to talk about today, because, again, I got some stuff to do. And let me just get right to it with the family. You know, I want to ask black folks, black people, are we still falling for the intersectionality hustle? Are we still falling for the intersectionality con game? We are still falling for the goddamn intersectionality con game. We don't know when to call out the white supremacists for trying to lump us in with other groups, to try to intersection us with all of these other faiths, groups, associations. We got to stop falling for that. We keep losing because of that. Black people are losing over and over and over again, because we allow people to minimize what we've been through and have us latch on to them. We're always used as props. We're always used as proxies. We're always used for photo ops for other people's struggle, where they get shit or they get certain recognition and specific targeting for benefits. And we are left holding the bag. I mean, that happens over and over and over again. And the other day, Donald Trump was at the African American History Museum in Washington, D.C. And he was doing some photo ops with Ben Carson. He had Ben Carson, a couple of other unknown Negroes around him. He had Dr. Martin Luther King's coon ass niece, Evita King, who's a red bone buck dancing bedwinch coon. The white supremacists, who pretend to be conservatives, they love wheeling her out so she can spew her bullshit and then try to connect her name with Dr. King. Dr. King wouldn't have agreed with none of the bullshit she does. Dr. King would not agree with all of her cooning, but they love to play up the fact that she's Dr. King's niece. And what was funny, go look at the presser that Trump did. He had her standing there in front of a photo with Dr. King. These motherfuckers are so fake and phony. So she's a right wing. Many people suspect a paid shill. She's one of those what about black on black crime type of Negroes. That's why they love parading her around. And Trump was at the African American History Museum. And if you look at all the press conferences and all the interviews, he kept talking about the Jewish community. He kept talking about how he's not anti-Semitic. He was at the African American History Museum talking about the Jewish community. And a lot of folks, I wonder if y'all caught that. You're at an African American History Museum, but you're talking about Jewish issues. And those coon zombie looking niggas standing around him, not saying, just standing there as props. That's all we do. We become people's props. We stand around bucking our eyes, shuffling our feet. Hold on, Zoe Williams calling me. Shout out to Zoe. What's up, Zoe? Zoe, if you're listening live, I'm going to call you after the show. Got to see what Zoe is up to. But, and speaking of the African American Museum, I was on ISM yesterday talking about going there. My assistant said yesterday that the tickets were, like, you know, crazy, and there's a waiting list, couldn't get into June. There's a long waiting list, and I talked about that yesterday because I'm going to be in D.C. next week. I'm going to be on Rock Newman's show. And some people there from the Smithsonian, they're listeners of the show. They hit me up, and they're going to get me in. So shout out to the Smithsonian and the African American History Museum. They're going to get me in anyway. That's good, having those connections. I love it. Much respect to you guys. So I am going to be able to go. So that's good. So it's going to be very interesting to check that out. But like I was saying, the fact that Trump was at the African American History Museum talking about Jewish issues, that speaks volumes. Because at the Jewish Museum or the Jewish community centers or whatever, they don't talk about black issues. None of these groups talk about black issues. They specifically talk about what's happening in their community in very specific terms. Even when Donald Trump was at the African American History Museum and he was supposed to be talking about black folks, he wasn't. He started talking about, well, divisiveness. He started talking in these vague-ass terms. We are very divided in this country. Some very bad things. Very, very much divisive and a lot of division. Very bad things happening. We want to get together as a people. Some of this stuff is happening. It was some real vague ass shit. And the coons are just standing up. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I mean, give me a break. Don't use niggas for photo ops and don't allow yourself to be used for photo ops. We're used to intersect whatever we have going on with everybody else. And I've talked about this before. So many black folks want to latch on to this intersectionality thing. And I've done a show about that before. And the thing is, we're still falling for it, seeing that it doesn't work. Seeing that it works against our best interest. Black folks, whenever you hear the word intersectionality, because you usually hear it from black people, or you hear from white supremacists who are trying to deflect away from white supremacy, so they'll go handpick some Negroes and put them out there to talk about intersectionality. But usually, intersectionality means Negroes who are just trying to justify having sexual relationships with white people. That's really what it boils down to. Now, some people try to point out, there's a black woman who made up the word intersectionality. I mean, no, I don't give a fuck who made it up. Black people made up rock and roll. It's white people do mostly rock and roll now. It don't matter who made it up or the etymology, what the terminology means now, what it has morphed into, what the white supremacists have defined it as. See, that's the thing. Black folks will create something and then let the white supremacists redefine it into something else. So basically, it means intersectionality means interracial sex and taking issues away from white supremacy. Let's not focus on white supremacy. Yeah, the fake white liberals, they love talking about intersectionality when you start talking about white supremacy. Especially in the gay community, black gay people, like throwing that intersectionality thing out there. Well, we talk about the black struggle. We got to talk about the gay struggle, too. We suffer, too. As LGBT, we suffer for some discrimination. From who? Who are you discriminated against? Well, no, in the black community, there's a lot of anti-gay rhetoric. There's a lot of anti-black, in the black community, there's anti-gay discrimination. In the black community, there is no anti-gay discrimination in black society. That is a lie. There is no anti-gay discrimination in black society. I want all my black gay folks to listen. Lesbians in the black community, listen. I'm gonna say this again. I want this to go through to your skull. There is no anti-gay discrimination in black society. You have anti-gay name calling, sure. You have niggas talking shit. We'll talk shit name, yeah, which ain't cool. But let's be very clear, that's not discrimination. You got motherfuckers who will name call you and talk shit, and it goes both ways. Gay people talk shit too. So we have a name calling contest, but that ain't no damn discrimination though. Because neither one of us in black society are powerful enough to discriminate against anybody on a mass systematic scale. It doesn't exist. We don't have the power to discriminate, meaning deprive you of the resources that you need, while we're both in the same boat. Black people who are straight and gay black people, we're both in the same boat. We just cannot discriminate against anybody in black society or white society for that matter. The people who has the power have the power to gentrify you, mass incarcerate you, keep you out of a job, keep you out of a home. Those are people in the dominant white supremacist society. So there is no power in name calling. So let's get off that bullshit. Yeah, we shouldn't do it. We should name call. Of course we should not, to a certain degree, based on somebody's sexual preference or whatever. But all victims are equal, like our brother Neely Fuller says. All black people are in a prison called white supremacy, and all prisoners are equal. There's no power among prisoners. That's bullshit. So the reason we're in that prison, both powerless, do we advocate against each other? We have prisoners' advocacy groups against other prisoners. How does that work? Or you go against the prison masters, which is the major problem. Ain't no intersectionality. We're all dominated by white supremacy. Intersectionality, the concept, has to be a power-based concept. Two power groups are supposed to be intersectional. You cannot be intersectional with a powerless group. That's not intersectionality. That's just dominance. See, we got to understand these words here. We got to understand the words. You're not powerful enough to be intersectional with anybody because you're not equal to anybody socially. We're all dominated by white supremacy. So intersectionality, that's just a fancy way to try to justify your victimhood, which we all are victims of white supremacy. And that's you trying to surrender, but trying to be dignified about surrendering. Well, I'm giving up and I'm going to bend over for white mommy and white daddy, but I'm intersectional. And that's the way to go, being intersectional. We can focus on both struggles. No, both struggles. Nigga, you're dominated. And they're dominating you. Because now, the minute they've put a dick up in you, now you're taking the focus off white supremacy. And now you're trying to cloak yourself under the banner of, I'm gay. Well, I'm black and Hispanic. I'm a black conservative. You dig? So we play these little psychological mind games with each other and ourselves. Because the thing is, you are not intersectional if you are a so-called black gay person. Who are you intersectional with? Well, we got to focus on racism, and gay issues. Well, the problem with that is you have racism within white gay society that nobody in the gay community is really speaking out against or doing anything about. So that puts you right back in the same boat. So as a gay black person, if you try to go and intersect into white gay society, you're running right back into white supremacy. You're going to run right into the Milos of the world, that little douchebag fucking Milo Yiannopoulos, whatever his name is. And they got rid of him over at Breitbart. He went too far, that Milo dude. And I've been going in on him for a minute. He's an unfunny suspected white supremacist troll who the media propped up. They gave him a book deal over at Simon & Schuster, which is my publisher. They published one of my books, and I felt a certain way about being associated with the publisher of publishing some bullshit like that from Milo, who's really getting his weight up strictly off of his white supremacist views. I mean, this dude ain't witty. He's never said anything remotely funny. He's one of these suspected gay white supremacists who said, okay, look, I know how to get in good with all of the other white supremacists dumping on black folks. And they sat up here and let this dude talk greasy about black folks. They invited him to college campuses. Oh, they propped him up once he showed that he was down to shit on black folks. Then you got to understand, white supremacy is a sickness. And if you let a sickness fester, it's a cancer that spreads to other societies and other facets of society. So they uncovered a bunch of interviews of him justifying pedophilia. Then they said that was the last straw. So then they started to disinvite him to all of these conventions. He lost his book deal. The site that he was an editor for, Breitbart, they got rid of him, which is good. But the fact that the pedo stuff was the last straw, that speaks volume. Not his white supremacist views about black people. That wasn't it. So you got to understand, they'll let sick fucks like this fester and thrive in white supremacist society as long as they stay on code. And the code is stick to shitting on black folks. Now, if you're talking about fucking kids and 13-year-olds having sex with grown men, and that's okay, because he was saying the shit he said about pedophilia was real vile. He was like, well, it's not a bad thing all the time. It's like you got 13-year-olds, you know, and it's like a young man, a young boy and an older man. It's a coming of age relationship. I mean, he was really trying to justify pedophilia. And that's big in white supremacist society, by the way. That's why most of the cases of pedophilia in America, I mean, completely disproportionately high among the white supremacist male. They even have organizations like NAMLA, the fact that this is a legal organization that's allowed to exist, it's called the National Association of Man-Boy Love Association. No, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. That's the name of it. And it's a pedophile ring. But they just changed the wording of it a little bit and they get away with it. They've had NAMLA for decades. Sick shit. It's a fucking pedophile ring. It's real sick, man. But this is who black folks think that they're intersectional with. This is who you think you are intersectional with. These gay suspected white supremacists out here. And I saw something today where they had another intersectional type of thing. There was an event down in Tampa because they're really pushing this intersectional bullshit, because we see that we got a white supremacist regime with Trump. This is nothing but a Nazi regime. It's a white supremacist Nazi regime. Nothing more, nothing less. So they're really trying to push this intersectional bullshit so you can focus away from white supremacy. That's what intersectionality is about. It's trying to get you to focus away from white supremacy. So they had something down in Florida, Tampa, Florida, called Under Our Skin. And I'm going to give y'all the website. It's underourskinforum.com. It's a forum on race and faith. So now they're trying to use intersectionality with race and religion. Here we go. So I'm looking at the website. They're saying in February 2007, national thought leaders gathered in Tampa to discuss the intersection of race and faith in America today. That's the first sentence there. The intersection of race and faith. Get the fuck out of here with that. And this happened the other day, and it was supposed to be put together by Baltimore Ravens tight end Benjamin Watson and other national thought leaders. I mean, look at that language too, because whenever they bring a couple of black folks somewhere, the word leader is thrown out there. Leader of who? Who said that they're the leaders? I don't like when people try to assign leaders to black people, because that's who they're talking about. It's white people don't have leaders. White supremacy, the concept of white supremacy itself, that's the leadership. So they had this panel about race and faith. And there were a lot of athletes associated with, a lot of people from ESPN, I'll say that. So there's Benjamin Watson. I'm looking at the speaker info. You had sportscaster James Brown. He was a speaker there. You had this white guy named J. Kevin Butcher. He's an author. Tony Dungy, I think that's his name. Charlie Strong. I mean, what are all these athletes and coaches and all these people, what are they talking about race and faith? And I'm looking like, what's this about? There's a lot of other people who are very well-versed on systems of race and racial politics and all that. So what was this shit about? Who else was on it? It was some lady named Mo Ism. She's an author, a goalkeeper for Louisiana State soccer team. There's another guy, Ben Sciacca. He's an executive director of Restoration Academy, a Christian school in Birmingham. You had a guy named Danny Werfel. I can't pronounce some of these names. He's a white guy. Some of these are white people. Like the Ben guy, he's white. Danny Werfel, whatever his name, he's white. He was a former college and NFL quarterback who played for New Orleans. So I guess he's a white preacher now. You have a black woman and a white man couple named Seth and Nerva. They're like a Christian group. They're like a Bedwinch version of BB and CC Winans or something. So look, this is the panel of this race and faith thing. And this is the kicker. They had Sage Steele from ESPN. Now, the thing is, if any time somebody's going to talk about race and they bring Sage Steele, it's a farce. Already know this. Anytime somebody's going to talk about race, you got a panel about race and they got Sage Steele there to talk about some damn race, it's a farce. It's a goddamn farce. It's a coon fest. I want to know who's really behind this whole thing, because they got, what's his name all over it. They got Benjamin Watson's name over it. I believe somebody else is behind it, because that's what the white supremacists will do. They will fund something and then put a black person's name on it and make it seem like it's their thing. I want to know, you know, whose shit this is. Let me see. Presented by, let me see what this says. Presented by Tyndale House Publishers, okay, and featuring Baltimore Ravens tight end Benjamin Watson. Okay, so this is who really did it. Tyndale House Publishers. So look them up. Let me see who they are. I'm looking up all this stuff as we go along. Tyndale House Publishers. I got to find out who they are. That sounds like some kind of gospel or Christian group or something. Let me look that up real quick. Because with all of these coons and bedwinches on here, there's some white supremacists behind this shit. And that's what we always got to research, family. When you see too many coons all at once, even if they say, oh, this is presented by Jesse Lee Peterson. No, no, no. There's always, if there's some slaves, there's a master somewhere. All right? Understand that rule. If there's some slaves, there's a damn master. Okay, we just found the master here. Okay. So this is really put together by this publishing company, Tyndale House. Okay, and I'm looking them up right now. They've been around since 1962. It was founded by, what's his name? Kenneth N. Taylor. So it's like some kind of Christian book publishing company. Okay. And I'm looking this up now. I'm trying to find out who Kenneth Taylor is. Okay, so it's like a little Bible type of thing. Okay, Kenneth Taylor, he died in 2005. So this publishing company is some white-owned publishing company. And I'm looking them up now. Hold on while we're talking. I'm looking up their website. Okay, they got that movie The War Room on there. I wonder if they had something to do with that War Room movie. So they got a bunch of Christian books. Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay, and that's my thing. You watch out for that. You watch out for these so-called white Christian groups, these white Christian publishers, because some of them are some of the biggest white supremacists you ever want to meet. Some of them are some of the biggest white supremacists you ever want to meet in your life. So they put this together. They get a bunch of athletes. And the reason why they got a bunch of athletes to talk about race, because they know that most athletes, not all, because I have a lot of friends who are professional ball players who are really about that life. Shout out to my brother. Shout out to Cap, Colin Kaepernick. Shout out to him. Shout out to others like him. But they know that a lot of black athletes, and especially Negroes at ESPN, that's why they got a lot of Negroes at ESPN. They know them niggas have been, they've been vetted. ESPN is the coon train all day. That's all it is. A bunch of buck dancing niggas on there cooning all day. You know, the minute they step out of line, the white supremacists will yank their chain. So there's a reason why they have so many buck dancing coons on ESPN. And that's the reason why they got all these sports people on the panel to talk about race, because they know these niggas ain't gonna challenge white supremacy. See, whenever the white supremacists try to put together something about race, they always stack the deck full of coons and then say, hey, we're all intersectional. It's us and our coons, and we have sex with a couple of them. There's a bedwinch right there. Then we got Sage Steel over there. So we're like one big old happy melting pot, huh? No, because all of the people are subject to you, the white supremacists, and nobody's addressing white supremacy. Whenever they have one of these coon fests, one of these intersectionality fests, these bedwinch conventions, nobody ever discusses white supremacy. What happens? Niggas get together, talk about sports, talk about how they went to college with a white friend, how their white coach treated them like the father. Their white coach was a father figure. They love getting athletes like that, because athletes like that, they get them out. The narrative is that they come out the hood. A white sports agent or a white coach becomes the white daddy slash master figure. And it's a whole episode of The Blind Side, basically. So they know a lot of black athletes are not going to speak out or not going to even have the articulation to speak about white supremacy in a logical manner. Because they know how racist many of the sports fans are. And they know that white supremacist sports fans keep a lot of black athletes in check for the most part. You know, when the Patriots won the Super Bowl, there were several players who said that they were not going to go to the White House to meet Trump. There were several black players who did have balls to stand up for themselves and say, hey, look, I'm not going to be a part of that. And the white supremacist fans went in on them. And notice some of the language that was being said about the black players. I want y'all to catch some of the language. You can look at it on Twitter, where some of the Patriot players who didn't want to go sit with Trump, look at some of the names and some of the words they were using. They were like, these ungrateful niggers. You niggers are so ungrateful. Look at that word. Ungrateful. Because see, the white supremacists, they know. They know we allow you niggers to thrive. We allow you niggers to get out the ghetto. And they were literally saying, if it wasn't for pro football, this nigger would still be in the ghetto. See, the white supremacists, they say, well, we're doing you a favor by allowing you to make money and run the ball in front of us. We allow you, and you need to be grateful, nigger, because there's a bunch of other broke niggers like you who's ready to get in your same position. And that's how they treat black professional athletes. So that's why they stack that whole intersectional race talk with a bunch of athletes, because they know that they hang that type of rhetoric over black athletes' heads. That's why they don't, white supremacists don't like people like me, because I'm not, my livelihood ain't really contingent on them directly. Now, indirectly, yeah, because I'm still in the system of white supremacy, so they can shut me down anytime they want to if they try hard enough, so I'm not lost on that. I am still in the system of white supremacy. Brother Neely Fuller, he makes that very clear. Even if we own our own businesses and all that, we have to understand we are allowed to. And that's true. I have to go get business licenses from the white supremacist suspects. I got to go get rent office spaces in buildings owned by the white supremacists. So we're under that. Hell, even now, like I said earlier on the show, I can't even put my kid in a fucking school. Because the white supremacists then said, hey, you can't put your kid in school unless he gets one of these poison shots. So that just proves I'm still under that damn system. My kid can't even go to school right now. I'm sitting up here trying to figure out a way to get my kid educated in the state of California. But in this intersectionality meeting, they had Sage Steele, and I've talked about Sage Steele on the show several times. She's an ESPN commentator, a black woman who denies her blackness. She doesn't own up to being black at all. I mean, this is the quintessential Negro bedwinch mentality, if you ever seen it. Sage Steele will claim everything but black. When she describes herself, she said, well, I'm as a biracial woman, as a woman of color, as a mixed race woman, she will never use the adjective black to describe herself. She never does that. She uses everything under the sun but black. She'll even say, well, as a half white woman, I've seen her say that about herself. She's described herself as half white, but never half black though. That black thing, she runs from that shit. She never, ever, 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 ever applies blackness to herself. She will apply whiteness to herself. That's the kind of bedwinch we're dealing with. So at the convention, instead of nobody's challenging white supremacy at this convention about faith and race. And we're talking about, we're in a country where black churches are bombed, blown up, burned up. To this day, black churches are segregated. Black churches are gentrified. So we're going to talk about faith and religion and race. That's what we should be talking about. But no, not with these coons and bedwinches. You know her ignorant black ass got up there. And this is a quote from the Under Our Skin Forum at the Crossing Church. Here's an article. While discussing the current racial divide in our country, Steele, who is biracial and married to a white man, asked black people to look within themselves before blaming others. Speaking from her own experiences, Steele said the worst racism comes from black folks. Quote, there are times that I believe that we as African Americans, she said African Americans, can be hypocritical. And that is to not look ourselves in the mirror when we're saying, when we say certain things and blame, when we're blaming other groups for one thing and we're doing the exact same thing. Said Steele, who was moderating the forum. Wait a minute. They had her moderating the forum, so you know that was a farce. They had her moderating the forum, so you know it was bullshit. Let me continue what she said. The worst racism I've received as a biracial woman married to a white man, and I mean thousands and thousands over the years, is from black people who in my mind thought would be more accepting because there has been that experience. I don't know what she means by that. But even as recent as a couple of weeks, the words that I've had thrown at me, I can't repeat here. And 99% of it is from people with my own skin color. But if a white person said that to me, what would happen? Okay, this bedwench is so fucking full of shit. She's playing. She wants to be a white woman so bad where she can go somewhere and play the victim. She's trying to do the white woman hustle and it don't work. Sage still goes out of her way to shit on black society. Nobody's criticizing her out the blue. The criticism of her is a response to her fucking bedwinching and talking down on black society every fucking chance she gets. She started talking down on black society, and black society responded to her coon bedwinching bucktooth ass. So now she's getting around white people playing the victim. Hey, white people. Oh, my. Oh, these niggas treat me so bad because I'm brown and I'm half white. These niggas treat me so bad. Y'all treat me good, though. But those niggas, that's the real problem. That's why I don't play that intersectional game. And black folks, don't you play that stupid ass intersectional game. Intersectionality is nothing but code words for bedwinching and cooning. Anytime people talk about some intersectionality, that means they're trying to have some interracial sex and they're trying to coon their way to the top or coon their way into a little comfort zone. And anytime they start talking about, we're going to have a discussion about race, and then they load the room with coons and bedwinches, it's white supremacy working their magic again. That's why we have to take control of the narrative. That's why we have to take control of the conversation and create our own dialogue and do it on our terms. The white supremacists, they're never going to have a realistic conversation about race in this country because we're going to have to talk about them. And white supremacy thrives by trying to make itself invisible. That's what you have to understand. That's why they hate for me to use the word white supremacy all the time. Every time I'm on TV, I'm throwing that word white supremacy out there, and it's like kryptonite. That makes them mad as shit because they know that the veil is being uncovered. Once you start uncovering the veil, then they lose power when you acknowledge what the problem is, because when you acknowledge what a problem is, the brain will automatically start looking for solutions to a problem. You got it? Anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here, family. Don't forget, man, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ladies and gentlemen, go to 1804movie.com. Get the movie poster. I'm going to autograph it for you. Get that today. And follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on my YouTube page. That's at Tariq Live on YouTube. And you guys have a good afternoon. And also, again, my medical folks, my doctors out here in SoCal, man, I need y'all to hit me up. And I'm talking about my real doctors, not a motherfucker who sells some aroma beads at the goddamn Sloss and Swap Meet. I'm talking about some real medical doctors out here in L.A., man. Holler at me, man. I need some advice on some stuff about these vaccines and all that stuff, man. But holler at me, family. Y'all have a good afternoon, man. Y'all be good, especially out here in California, man. It finally stopped raining for a damn day. So get out here and enjoy yourself, family. All right? I'ma holler.